Welcome to Irish Illustrated's Tracking the Trail. I'm Drew Mentock, joined by Irish Illustrated Senior Recruiting Analyst Eric Thomas and 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports National Recruiting Analyst Tom Loy. We're going to discuss Notre Dame's three official visit weekend / midweek trips that are coming up. Of course, we'll start with this weekend, June 12th. Notre Dame will have seven players on campus, two commits, David Fularuncho, defensive lineman, top 100 recruit, long snapper Sean Kraft, and they'll also have a bunch of high-end targets, especially edge rusher Abraham Cisse, defensive lineman from Chicago, Braden Parks, Tyler Alexander, Roman Iwabuke, and defensive back Greedy James. Tom, we'll start with you. What are some of your thoughts on this upcoming weekend? I know it's not as big as maybe the one the following weekend, but they, you know, have five priority prospects and two commits on campus.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with, I think Abraham Cisse is probably the one that everybody's going to be looking at because this is a big-time player, a top prospect, one of the most elite edge rushers in America, and I think Notre Dame's in a really good spot. We've made that very clear at Irish Illustrated that we like Notre Dame's chances, and when you talk to people inside the Goo, there's a lot of confidence in this one. Like, you know, there was some chatter about Duke potentially pulling off, and there was some chatter about LSU, but in the end, I think that this kid sees a fit at Notre Dame that's tremendous. I think that the entire defensive staff has made him a priority. They're pushing for him, and he's connecting with them extremely well. But I think the big picture of what Notre Dame is about academically, athletically, and then who head coach Marcus Freeman is as a person, that's the kind of stuff that resonates with Cisse and his family. And I feel very good about it. I mean, I think I would be genuinely shocked at this point if Notre Dame doesn't get that one done. But the other one I would probably mention is Braden Parks and the top 247 defensive lineman. I've been tracking him for a while, and this one's been kind of weird behind the scenes because you've had moments where Ohio State felt pretty good. Then you had Notre Dame for sure feeling good at times. There's some strong connections there. And then Oregon as well. One source told me that if it was completely up to him and it was just his decision, at least at one point fairly recently, he was leaning towards Oregon. And I think the Ducks were primed to kind of get that one done. But in the end, like, Parks is making a decision for his future. Everybody around him, he's trusting the adults around him to kind of lead him and guide him. And in the end, I just think that Oregon might be a little far from home from where he wants to be. And I think Notre Dame's going to get this one done. But again, I want to make that very clear. Like, this one's very, very close behind the scenes. Notre Dame, Oregon, there's great NIL offers financially on the table. Like, everybody's doing their due diligence and making sure that this guy feels like a priority. And he's a top target, both financially as well as just kind of when it comes to the relationships. But, you know, if I was really, really, you know, a betting man, I'd say Notre Dame gets this one done. And I think this weekend's going to be a huge, huge key in that. But again, I want to make it clear, Oregon is a very real threat in this one.
Eric, I think that matches up with Parks, some of the stuff you've been saying too about Oregon. I'm curious, how important is it to get him on campus with David Fularuncho? I know they at least train with the same person, Kerry Neal, a former Notre Dame defensive lineman himself. They're both from Chicago. Is that kind of help with this weekend, having somebody who he has at least some connection with when he's already committed in the class?
Yeah, I think it's really critical because besides the fact that there's obviously some level of familiarity, to have that level of peer recruiting on these visits is pretty important. And with so many commits coming next weekend, having Fularuncho as like a positional defensive line representative to help boost whatever the staff's throwing at these guys over the course of the visit, it's a very sort of casual way for them to make sure that, you know, after these meetings and everything, these guys have conversations. And that's just another way for Notre Dame to kind of get sold and ingrained and normalized within kind of the mindset of these guys. And even beyond that, like, having Fularuncho there, he's obviously a guy who committed to Coach Partridge. Coach Partridge has been a massive factor in making sure Notre Dame stays in this thing for Braden Parks and continues to charge. Like, he's done a great job with Parks this spring. There's been a lot of connection with Coach Partridge and the staff, and having that player asset to aid everything that Coach Partridge is doing is just a massive boon for Notre Dame with both Cisse and Parks. I think that for both of them, you know, they've talked about the purpose of this trip is to get a better sense of what's it going to be like to be a Notre Dame student athlete. What's the culture look like? What does the actual coaching look like when I'm in these, you know, these meetings and one-on-one situations? And they're drawing points of comparison directly. For Parks, that's with Oregon. For Cissé, he said to Brian Doan earlier this week, it's with LSU. So to have another player to bounce ideas off of and kind of go through that thought process as well, I just think it all adds up to a really beneficial windfall for Notre Dame this weekend.
Now, there's another Chicago area prospect, Roman Igwebuke, is also going to be on campus. As I mentioned, he's a really highly coveted linebacker. Obviously, that's probably the position where there's the most concern amongst fans right now. Eric, how important would this potential movement and his recruitment be, and how realistic are Notre Dame's shot here?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because Notre Dame technically has a linebacker commit, Amari Irvin, but it looks like that is on the way out. So with the official visit schedule that's set right now, there's only two linebackers heading to campus this summer. It's Igwebuke and it's Caden Henderson. And so for Notre Dame to be able to pull off the coup and land both of those guys starting this weekend with the local product, that would be massive for them to really set the linebacker room, at a good spot moving forward. Obviously, we know about the turnover that's expected next year. So this class is critical to make sure that they're restocking the shelves with talent. And with the latest with him, he had a really, really good official visit to Clemson. He also loved his official visit to Indiana a couple weeks ago. So there's a couple teams that are making moves up his board, even at this late hour. If you look at the reporting from the Clemson side of things too, they're only really looking for one more linebacker and they're basically leaving it up to those prospects. Like, hey, first come, first serve. If you want to reserve your spot, come get it. And he has not jumped in. He has not made a move yet. He's still looking to get to Notre Dame. So there's some intentionality about that with that element of risk that I think bodes well for Notre Dame, at least in the short term. And look, he's a guy who has a lot of interest in Notre Dame and they prioritize him much more heavily since Brian Jean-Marie came in and took over that room. So I think at this point, it's really about pushing all the right buttons on this official visit, making sure he understands, like, hey, you are a top priority. I know this is a little bit of a later full steam ahead engagement from our side of things, but you are a priority for us. We want you here. And just connecting with that interest that had him interested in the Irish since he was younger.
Yeah, if I could just chime in on that, like, what's weird is when you talk to these schools, like, all five of his finalists, Notre Dame, Clemson, Missouri, Indiana, Tennessee, they all have optimism on this one. There's all like a hope we can get that one done, or we feel pretty good. But no one's like, yeah, this one's done. We're getting this kid. There's not one school that's, standing on the table saying this is a lock for him to land here. So I think that one's kind of interesting because I think Notre Dame's been kind of quietly lurking. And I think if they really turn the heat up, I could see him staying home, but for a while, like all of the signs pointed closer to Clemson and even Missouri, to get this one done. But we're basically 1 month away from his commitment, and it's going to be on July 11th, right in that 3 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. Central window, and he's going to be doing it on the CBS Sports College Football YouTube channel. The plan, at least as of this moment, is for me to be there in the Chicago area to host that commitment. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, this weekend's going to be very, very interesting and telling whether Notre Dame's going to get this one done.
And lastly, I want to touch on Carnell. He goes by Greedy James. He's a number 87 overall player, safety from Texas. He is committed to Texas. He's not somebody as I'm familiar with. But Tom, what's Notre Dame chances here? How solid is that commitment to Texas, and what do you expect out of him this weekend?
I wouldn't call it solid. I would say that he is leaning towards Texas right this second, but he also has a ton of interest in Notre Dame and LSU. He's been to LSU. He heads to Notre Dame this weekend. Texas gets the final official visit next weekend, so that'll be pretty telling and interesting to see how this one plays out. But I know that Notre Dame feels like they have a really good shot. They love the kid. They prioritize him. And you talk to Greedy, like, you will not find a better fit at Notre Dame. I mean, I know that some people just, they don't realize that because they don't get to talk to these guys regularly, get around them. But getting around him in New Orleans at the Nike opening regional there, and just kind of chatting with him casually here and there, like, he is all buttoned up. I mean, this is a kid that values everything Notre Dame is about when it comes to everything I was saying about Abraham Cissé, like the academics, the athletics, the relationships, the life after football, 4 for 40, being a part of a brotherhood. I mean, everything that Notre Dame is about, Greedy James is about. So I think Notre Dame's got a very good shot to potentially get it done. They're in the final three with LSU and Texas. But again, I think the one thing is, like, they need to get it done this weekend, because if he gets back to Texas and Texas truly wants him and they make that very clear, I do think the Longhorns are going to be tough to beat.
And then lastly, with this weekend, obviously Parks and Cisse are on campus. If Notre Dame lands both of them, this would be a really loaded, maybe one of the best defensive line classes in the country. But Tyler Alexander, he's a three-star, he's a 315-pound defensive lineman from Wellington, Florida. But Eric, where does he potentially fit in Notre Dame's board? Obviously, Notre Dame isn't taking a ton of official visitors who aren't already committed, so obviously there must be something they like about him, even if he doesn't have the pedigree of some of those others.
Yeah, he's a guy who has emerged. He really liked his visit to Notre Dame over the course of the spring. I think the Fighting Irish were impressed with the character as much as the player, and they thought that there was a potential fit there. Now, obviously, there's some blue chip, high ranked and sort of the flip side of that, high cost players that they're still looking for. So Tyler Alexander is a guy that I would be watching as like a potential option if, hey, if Park still makes that trip out to Oregon, and as Tom says, the razor's edge flips the other way and he goes out that way. The staff might be looking, right at Tyler Alexander to be the guy to fill. But if everything goes to plan with Parks and with the guy coming on a midweek the next week, I don't know that Alexander's going to be the staff's main priority push here to close out the cycle.
That makes a lot of sense. And just a few days later, Notre Dame has a midweek official visit. I know sometimes that maybe seems like maybe it might be less of a priority for those prospects, but it's also a time where Notre Dame gets to really just focus on the two players who'll be on campus, and that's defensive lineman Marcus Fakatu, another top 100 player. I know most fans are familiar with him by now, and safety, four-star safety Andre Hippolyte. Eric, what is your kind of read on this right now? Just with you mentioned, I know that I think this is Fakatu's last visit. I know some thought it sounds like he might commit to Ohio State at the end of May. The fact that he's still taking the visit sounds like that's a positive development.
Yeah, it with him, because of how up and down the recruitment had been and so many different lead changes over the course of the spring, it was clear that he was still taking on new data and kind of setting his footing on all right, who are going to be the finalists moving forward. So as we got into the official visits, it felt like if any of the visits were standout, especially for the Buckeyes, who he called the leaders heading into that period, it could be a situation where he decided to close things off. But ultimately, he's making this trip to Notre Dame. They're longtime contenders, even longtime favorites in this race. And for the Fighting Irish, I think the biggest thing with Fakatu is they were very, very close to landing him. Like, it was not even outright favorites is a nice way to put it when Al Washington was still in place. And obviously, his departure for the Miami Dolphins after briefly being named a linebackers coach threw a wrench in things. And for him, the relationship side of things with Notre Dame felt like it started over. But the Irish have really bridged that gap, and they've done it despite not having him on campus a ton of times. Charlie Partridge has just been really diligent about making those connections and making sure that they're building the relationship moving forward. And this is a prime opportunity for Notre Dame to snatch back the lead and show him, hey, here's why you were close to committing before. Even with new leadership in town, this is why you want to be here now, and kind of going that direction and that angle. And on the midweek thing, I mean, obviously it's suboptimal from the perspective of like, we want to get in there on the big weekends and surrounded by people, and there's a different energy on the weekends, and there's a total focus on the visits. But at the same time, with a small group like this, when you have, such especially top priority guys, but a small group, you really are still able to dedicate quite a bit of focus, and you can still replicate those experiences, even if it's less about the group communal aspect with your peers and more about, hey, we want you to spend time with current players. We want you to spend time with the coaches. We want you to get to meet, X, Y, and Z person at the school, whether that's a business school professor that, he might be interested in or what have you. They can make a lot more of those sort of small room, intimate moments with people, on the staff or around Notre Dame, and still create that catered experience. It's just going to be a little bit different than the, hey, look how much fun this was with your peers, right? Just a different angle.
I
And
also
Tom.
want to add on that, just I had heard that he had I think he had gotten new representation by David Mulugheta, who's kind of he's a big deal in this industry, and he's gonna set him up to make a ton of money, just candidly. But I back in the day, it'd be like, yeah, Notre Dame's gonna be out, but this is not the case anymore. Notre Dame will pony up for all the top guys. So I think that Notre Dame's in a very good spot. Georgia's in a very good spot. Ohio State's in a great spot. I would probably give the edge to the Buckeyes right this second, but again, he's still uncommitted. He wants to hear everybody's best offer, put it on the table. And again, that's the smart thing for Marcus and his entire family and his team and Mulugheta and everybody to see to do. Let's just put everybody's chips on the table and see what makes the most sense. But I will say, if you take money out of the table, and you put relationships first and foremost. I mean, this is a guy that he's got a great relationship with Kingston Billy Amoruso. He's got some relationships and friendships on the roster, and the entire family is a big, big fan of Marcus Freeman. So again, while it looked really good for Notre Dame early, and then it kind of tailed off, I think Notre Dame's back in it, and I think this week, this that next weekend or like midweek is going to be very, very interesting to see how it plays out. Because yes, it would be nice to have him, like Eric said, around a bunch of guys and a bunch of commits and stuff like that. But if he's there, kind of in a place where it's just a handful of guys there, he is going to get the red carpet treatment in the biggest way possible, and that's exactly what you need when you want to land a guy that could be a potential difference maker along the defensive line in a couple of years.
And then Tom Hippolyte, he's a 4-star safety. He's from North Miami Beach High School. Obviously, Notre Dame has had some success against Miami on the recruiting trail in 2027. But how realistic are Notre Dame's chances with a guy from South Beach?
I think at this point they're probably running third in a race between Miami and Florida. I think that the two in-state programs are probably the teams to beat right this second. I think a lot of people are talking about Miami and they get him on campus this weekend, but I want to make it very clear, like Florida is a big player in there. This is a kid that's buying into what John Sumrall is doing and everybody in the new age of recruiting and era of recruiting in Gainesville with the Gators. But Miami is probably the smart money, safe bet right this second, but Notre Dame's landed crazier wins in the past, and they're making the state of Florida a priority. So they are all over social media making that abundantly clear. So it'll be like if he ends up picking Notre Dame, I wouldn't say I'm like, oh my God, floored, shocked, but I would be a little surprised if the Irish can beat the Gators and Hurricanes in this one.
So then just a few days after that, June 19th official visit weekend is, Notre Dame's definitely a huge weekend for them. A lot of that is they'll have 15 commits on campus, including quarterback Champ Mons, edge rusher Jackson Vaughn, and Aiden O'Neal, a bunch of other high priority guys, Ace Alton, Zayden Gamble. Just a huge weekend overall. But then there will be five uncommitted prospects there in wide receivers Julius Jones and Asani Gales. Offensive lineman Albert Simeon, another, blue chip guy. Defensive lineman Segun Alexander, and as you mentioned earlier, Eric Caden Henderson. But I'm curious, especially Eric, with a guy like Julius Jones, who obviously is a legacy, getting him around all those commits and maybe making him feel like he's a part of the program. I assume is part of the strategy with that one. What are your thoughts on him coming and being around so many players who he would potentially play with at Notre Dame if he were also to commit?
Yeah, I think that it's an important one. Like Julius, when I've spoken with him, he talks all the time about how important it is for him to feel that brotherhood in the locker room and how important it is for him to replicate a little bit of something similar like they have at St. Thomas Aquinas, where they've built a really good team around a core of, five or six guys in his class, and those guys are like brothers. And so he's looking to create a similar experience and sort of rebuild that success in a different way at the next level. And then obviously his best friend, his brother, basically his Zayden Gamble, like they're really close. Having them together on the visit is going to be a major boon. But I also think that when you look at the Julius Jones situation, like he canceled that Oregon official visit. He obviously did take an OV down to Miami, but he canceled the Florida one that was set up for June 19th weekend originally. So it's looking more and more likely that this is going to be, Notre Dame's race to lose. So when you're looking at it from that optic and see what this weekend is, it seems just like a great way to welcome him almost into the class for the staff and really kind of do their final pitch that way, right? Hey, we see the way that this looks like this is trending. Let's make our final push. Let's basically welcome you in the class, treat you like a commit over the course of this weekend, and really just go about things with that assumptive sale attitude. And I think that, with the commitment coming up here at the end of the month, Notre Dame's in a great spot, and that's going to be a great way to kind of kick off that opening window of him being committed, if you will.
Yeah, at this point, just to add on, I would be shocked if Notre Dame didn't get this one done. He's going to commit. I believe they finally went back and forth and settled on June 22nd. It was going to be the 28th, the 21st. As of earlier this week, he told me that they are set for June 22nd. There's a little bit of back and forth whether we're going to do the commitment on CBS Sports, whether McAfee's going to get it. There's some chatter behind the scenes. We'll see what happens. But regardless, I do believe that Notre Dame's going to get this one done. I think Miami's probably the biggest threat at this point. He loves Miami. I mean, this is a kid that fits in anywhere he goes. He's a great kid. He's got a little edge to him. He's super popular. He's a guy you want in your locker room because he just kind of lifts everybody up, makes you smile. He's always got a smile on his face, but man, he is a
Always.
dog on the field. He's super smart, really, really intelligent. Like I was at his practice a couple weeks ago when I was doing Mark Matthews' commitment, and just he wasn't working out, but like he was a coach on the sideline, and it was really cool to watch him coach everybody up, the technical aspect of the game and the wide receiver position and really other positions. Like this kid is extremely intelligent. So this would be a massive win for Notre Dame. They got to get it across the finish line. Obviously, the next weekend's official visit is going to be huge. So, but right now, I would be genuinely floored if the Irish didn't get that one done.
And Tom, with Gales, he's the number 34 overall player in the class of 2027, according to 24/7 Sports. Goes to IMG Academy. At least according to his profile, his commitment date is set for a few days later on June 27th. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but this is also looks to be his last official visit. Do you think that's significant for Notre Dame that they're going to maybe get the last word before he presumably shuts it down and makes a decision?
It's definitely significant, and yeah, that date is locked in because my plan is to leave Oregon at the opening and fly directly to Northern California to host that commitment live on the CBS Sports College Football YouTube channel. So stay tuned for that. Look, the fact of this matter the matter is like every this kid is elite. Like if you talk to our director of scouting, Andrew Ivins, candidly, I'm surprised. Like he's right there, but I'm surprised he's not a five star yet because the way he talks about him, like you would think this is arguably the top receiver in America, and there's a lot of schools that agree with him. I like Ohsani a lot, man. He is a tremendous talent. I feel like not enough people are talking about him. A lot of people are talking about Monchon Sales and even like guys like Julius Jones and some other, like they're not talking about Ohsani Gales enough. And I think this kid has an opportunity to be so special. But Notre Dame, Washington, Alabama, Tennessee, Stanford. That's the final five. Those are the ones pushing for it. Again, similar to one of the guys that I was mentioning up top, like a lot of optimism coming from each of these five schools. They all think they can get it done because he's so well-rounded, such a great kid when you look at the all-around perspective, when you're looking at the academics, you're looking at athletics and who he is as a person, and just a lot of optimism from all of these schools. But I would say right now, I think Tennessee's got an outside shot to land him. Notre Dame's got an outside shot to land him. I'd probably call the favorite right now, just in terms of proximity and relationships, Washington. I think the Huskies have done a really, really good job of sinking their teeth into him, no pun intended, for a very, very long time. So shout out to that staff because Fish and Matt Doherty, those guys are very buttoned up in Seattle in that area. So really good job by Washington. But again, this is a recruitment that Notre Dame absolutely can win. There's some familiarity with Notre Dame. He's got some friends on the roster. So it'll be interesting when he steps on campus because we are just 2 weeks away. And man, if this visit goes well, like he's going to be on an all-time high with Notre Dame, literally just a week or so ahead of his commitment.
And Eric, the two uncommitted linemen on the on campus, top 45 overall player, offensive lineman Albert Simeon. He's from Lake Charles, Louisiana. So that's obviously a place Notre Dame doesn't necessarily go for recruiting often. And defensive lineman Seguin Alexander. He's a 3-star, also from the South in Georgia. What are your thoughts on those two players as they get to campus next weekend?
Yeah, I'll start with Simeon. He's obviously the big time name, the 5-star guy. He has been pretty heavily projected to Texas A&M for pretty much most of the last year, although there's obviously been some other competitors making it interesting and keeping stuff, keeping the competition moving. But Texas A&M has hosted him more than any other school. They've built a great relationship with him. There's just so much familiarity there. And coming out of his official visit, there was even some steam like, oh man, like, he really likes A&M. Could he potentially commit? Could he go? It ended up not happening, but we heard a little bit of that from the A&M side. But ultimately, Notre Dame has made this interesting. Like, as much as there's confidence around A&M and there's a lot of people thinking that that's where he's going to go, I definitely name them the favorites right here today. I don't think Notre Dame is so far back going into this official visit that they're out of this race by any means. He's seriously considering the Fighting Irish. When you talk to Albert, he values a lot of what makes Notre Dame special from the academic side and sort of the team culture and the player-led culture, things like that. And look, he values similar things with Texas A&M, right? It's a good school academically. He values that there as well. So there's some similar priorities at play between the two schools when you talk to Simeon himself. But he loves Marcus Freeman, loves Joe Rudolph. And ultimately, if Notre Dame, crushes this visit, I think it is possible that they land him, but I would say right now that's an outside shot. A&M has just built such a lead coming out of their official visit. It's definitely going to be a hill to climb for the Fighting Irish and company. And then Sagan Alexander, he's a reclassified prospect from 2028. Another one of these guys that jumped up a year that the staff is continuing to show interest in, basically saying, "Hey, we loved you in the class after, so we're going to continue to treat you like a priority here as you move into this class." Once again, I think that when it comes to the defensive line class in 2027, there's a few guys that Notre Dame is looking at from a talent and a budget perspective that might make taking Alexander not a distinct possibility compared to maybe what he can get from some of his other finalists. But he's definitely someone that the staff is highly interested in and are actively courting, and they're excited to get him on campus. It's just a matter of, with the numbers being what they are, is he someone that the staff is going to be able to go full bore for when push comes to shove?
Yeah, I mean, this is just to add, like, this is a high academic kid. He fits in extremely well. Alexander is a guy that Notre Dame would like. I wouldn't say that they've gone all in for, but he's a guy that they would definitely like. And, getting the final official visit when you're battling Clemson, A&M, Cal, and Vandy, like, you can see something across the board there. Like, the kid values something more than just get me to the NFL as quick as possible. So good on him. Great fit. And, the opportunity's there, man. I think it really just comes down to Notre Dame laying out a plan to get on the field, to thrive off the field, and get everybody else around him on board.
And then, Eric, you touched on Caden Henderson earlier. So, Tom, I want to ask you about him. He's the number, according to the composite ranking, he's a five-star, the number one linebacker in the country. Again, Notre Dame has struggled to recruit that position just this cycle. Specifically in the past, that's been a position of strength. But, Tom, what are your thoughts on him coming into next weekend and Notre Dame's chances to really flip that position in this class?
I think it's a three-team race. I think you got Notre Dame, Miami, and Texas A&M. I know that everybody's hyping this up, and maybe I'm completely misreading it, but I'd probably say Notre Dame's probably running third right this second. I think that they have an opportunity to lay out the red carpet and make a great impression. I know that last visit he took was kind of like an eye-opener. I didn't see this guy ending up at Notre Dame. I don't think he saw himself ending up at Notre Dame until the last visit when he was there with his parents, got everything on board, and was just like, wow, like this is an eye-opening, game-changing visit to really, really cement Notre Dame as a player. So I think that everybody's talking about A&M, and rightfully so, myself included. A&M's done a phenomenal job when it comes to Caden Henderson, but I think not enough people are realizing like how interested this guy is in Miami. I think the Hurricanes have done a really, really nice job throughout his process of just kind of lingering in that 2-3 hole for a very long time. And if he ends up picking Miami, I mean, I don't think anybody's truly going to be shocked. They're going to be like, well, kind of saw that one coming, or at least we should have saw that one coming. So, but again, Notre Dame's got an opportunity here. They're going to get a key visit at a key time right before he wants to make a decision this summer, and we'll see what happens. This is going to be very interesting. But again, like, this is a three-horse race, in my opinion, for one of the most complete, talented linebackers in the country. This would be a massive, massive win for Notre Dame if they can get it done.
And then lastly, and this question is for both of you, if either of you have any thoughts on this, but I feel like Notre Dame has done really well with not having many decommitments recently, but having 15 guys on campus. Is there anyone that you think the staff is really looking forward to getting on campus because maybe they're starting to look elsewhere or and they just want to kind of firm things up? Or yeah, is there anyone who jumps here out at you as like, this is a good time to get this guy back on campus to remind him why he, committed to Notre Dame in the first place?
Less for like immediately worried about a decommitment reasons, but I think it's good to get Champ Mons back here right at the end of the summer. Ohio State has been sort of casting a really wide net in the quarterback waters. Obviously, they were involved with Champ Mons in the lead up. They've started to make a run at Nebraska's quarterback commit, newly minted five-star Trey Taylor. They already have a commit from, a high-end quarterback in Brady Edmonds. So they just have a lot of different irons in the fire at quarterback. So I think just continuing to get him on campus and continuing to be like, hey, this is why you committed here. No reason to even consider taking these phone calls, whatever it is. That's a good one. And then obviously the defensive backs for sort of a similar reason. After Mike Mickens left, schools from around the country were blowing up these guys' phones. And Well, you know, they took the calls, said thank you for your time. Ultimately, they did stick with their Notre Dame pledges. There wasn't any serious wavering from those defensive backs. So I think it's good to continue to get them on campus, continue to get them around Coach Henry, Coach Coughlin, and all those guys, and just continue to say, hey, you know, we're really glad you've stuck with us, bared with us through this coaching change. You know why you're here. Here's another weekend data point for you to say, hey, this is why I'm coming to Notre Dame.
I don't think there's too much to be worried about when I'm like looking at the visitor list. I mean, obviously, yeah, I think Mons is fair to mention, but really, I don't think there's anything going on there. As long as they want to
Yeah.
be there, Wissington and Rogers are going to be takes for Notre Dame all the way. I mean, Wissington, you know, look, he's got a bunch of blue bloods in his backyard. I think you're always going to have to keep an eye on that one. Jackson Coleman, Titus Hawk, like they picked Notre Dame for all of the right reasons that you want a solid commitment to do. Halter's locked in, Flanagan the same. Oluwaseme Olore, Olubabola is a guy that is going to be, you know, he's getting a lot of money to go to Notre Dame. Let's just be very clear. So that would be a surprise if he went elsewhere. But again, like he could have gone anywhere. He could have gone Florida, he could have gone to A&M when he chose Notre Dame. So like nothing's changed. Like I don't know why he would even counter and choose another school at this point. You know, Hill, O'Neill, Vaughn, they've all picked Notre Dame for the right reasons. They took their time, they took the visits, some were leaning elsewhere, some were committed elsewhere before, and some were reclassifications and all end up at Notre Dame. And so like just kind of going down the list, I think like John Gay's one that you gotta track. I mean, it's not a guy that's right in your backyard. You're gonna have to stay on him, keep prioritizing him, because there are some big blue bloods in his backyard that are gonna make him a priority quietly behind the scenes and try to move the needle. So that's kind of like the pulse of where things stand. And again, Alston, Gamble have both said that their recruitments are shut down. Zayden Gamble, I will tell you this. The only one that would really shake this up, I think, would be Alabama offering. But Alabama knows that, and they've chose not to offer. They haven't made a move there. So he just has a lot of interest in that school. But Notre Dame is the team he wants to play for. Marcus Freeman is the head coach he wants to play for. And Julius Jones is the guy he wants to play alongside. And we might just be 2 weeks away from his decision to join him in this class. So a lot of positives for Notre Dame. They've done a really good job this cycle. Really good class. I think Notre Dame fans, especially the ones at IrishIllustrated.com, should be very fired up about the future of Notre Dame football.
Awesome. And that's, yeah, 29 prospects over the next 10 or so days will be on Notre Dame's campus for official visit. So as you just mentioned, Tom, tune in to IrishIllustrated.com and 24/7 Sports, and we'll keep you updated on all of those. Aside from that, that's all for this edition of the Tracking the Trail podcast. Thanks for everyone who tuned in. Eric and Tom, once again, I really appreciate you hopping on to provide the latest scoop and kind of update where everything is. We'll be back next week with two episodes of Irish Illustrated Insider Podcast on Monday and Thursday. Until then, we'll see you all soon.